We're going to be reading out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And Apostle Paul wrote this book from prison. Someone say prison. He was in prison, isolated from the world, and God began to give him this revelation about salvation. And I'm going to start off in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, but we're going to really zero in on verses 8 through 10. And I'm reading out of the NIV version. It goes like this. As for you, Chapel of Change. I just put that up in there. Make sure you know we're talking about you. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Someone say disobedient. Last week, I want to remind you, we taught that everybody has the capacity to drift. We taught that no matter how excited you are about what God is going to do in 2017, the moment you step out of this church, there is an invisible yet powerful current that is going to try to cause you to drift away from what God wants you to do in 2017. And the Bible here reveals that spirit that causes us to drift. It's from the enemy. And so the issue is not whether or not you're going to drift, because we all drift. The issue is, are you going to catch yourself from drifting and realign yourself to the will of God? That's the issue. And how do we realign ourselves with the will of God? By surrendering in prayer to God. The more you pray, the more you realign yourself to God. The less you pray, the more you drift. The less you pray, the more you drift. And once the enemy can get you to stop praying regularly, then you become a POW. Anybody know what a POW is? Prisoner of war. Getting tied up. Put up against the wall. Hello, somebody. I want to go to church, but I just can't. Why? Because you're a POW. You stop praying. And then when you become a POW, not too long after that, you become MIA. You know what MIA is? Missing in action. And so the enemy's goal is to get you to stop praying so that you become a POW, and after a POW, you become an MIA. And then next you know, we're saying, where's that sister at? Where's that brother at? He used to serve for 3 months. I ain't seen him in a couple weeks. POW status, MIA. Why? You trace it down to they stop praying. Back to verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Someone say alive. Alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. I want to remind you of this truth, that Christianity is not about making bad people good. Christianity is about making dead people alive. I'm going to say that again. Christianity is not at the bottom line, when it all comes down to it, though Christianity is not all about just making bad people good. It's about making dead people alive. And when you receive the gospel and you obey God and you seek to follow his will, you become alive in all that you do. I'm tired of being a dead man walking. Hello, somebody. Verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I love this. Get a picture of this. I want you to get a picture of this. When you repented from your sins and you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible teaches that he raised you up with Christ and has seated you in heavenly places with Jesus. That speaks of your authority, your power that you have. Listen, ain't no way in the world the devil should have his feet on your neck if you're a born-again Christian. Ain't no way in the world the devil should have his feet on your marriage if you're a born-again Christian. Ain't no way in the world the devil should have his feet on your peace if you're a born-again Christian. The Bible says you've been risen together with Christ in heavenly places. You got authority. You got power. Listen, I don't come here to teach you something you don't know. I come here to remind you of what God has already told you in his word. We need to be woke up to this. Some of y'all have been sleeping way too long, snoring in the spiritual realm. Touch your neighbor and say, wake up. Yeah, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You snoring. I hear you snoring. Wake up. Yeah, you be snoring. Wake up. All right, verse 8. Verse 8 through 10 is our real focus this afternoon. For it is by grace, someone say grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can what? Can boast. See, God knew that if you thought you were doing it, you would boast about it. You know how you get when you get some money in your pocket? You know how you get when you get a little things going for you? Start boasting about what you can do. God says, when it comes to salvation, you didn't do none of it. I started it. I was in the middle of it, and I completed it. It's all me from beginning to end. That's shouting news. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, today, I want to teach from why do we serve the Lord. I want us to look at the scripture, and I'm going to bring out some principles to answer the question, why do we serve the Lord? It's very, very important that you never forget your whys in life. Never forget your whys. Never forget why you're a faithful husband. Never forget why you're a faithful wife. Never forget why you're committed to sobriety. Never forget why you're faithful serving the Lord. Never forget your whys in life. The moment you forget your whys is the moment you start to drift. The moment you forget your whys is the moment you start to do the moonwalk. People who forget their whys, they don't last long. People who forget their whys, they don't last long. And so I want to answer the question today. I have a couple thoughts that are rooted in the scripture as to why do we serve the Lord. And if you're not serving the Lord, this is going to answer the question why you should be serving the Lord. Are you ready for this? Someone say number one. We owe God. Very simple. Very, very simple. We owe God. Do me a favor, touch your neighbor and say, pay up. Yeah, pay up, pay up, pay up. Yeah, pay up. Bust out your debit card right now, your spiritual debit card, and pay up. We owe God. And if I may say, big time, big time. The Bible says in verses 8, that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Grace, grace. Someone say grace. We need to be reminded of this powerful doctrine of the Bible. It is probably the most important doctrine of the Bible. It is the doctrine of grace. And as we start 2017, you need to be reminded that grace is favor we do not deserve. It is favor we do not deserve. Grace is the secret sauce to Christianity. Grace is the secret sauce to Christianity. It is what separates Christianity from every other religious belief. Grace, favor we do not deserve. When you talk about grace, you talk about divine favor that you have never earned, nor can you ever deserve. I want to remind you. Grace woke you up this morning. I want to remind you that grace kept you alive when you blacked out that night. Don't even know how you got home. It was grace that took you home. I want to remind you that grace found you when you weren't even looking for God. Remember when you were hiding from God? It was grace that picked you up and turned you around. Grace is the one that protected you when you were in danger. Grace is the one that saved your life. I want to remind you that it was God's grace that gave you not a second chance, but another chance. And some of y'all are on your 20th chance, and it's only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Christianity is all about God's grace. It's all about God's grace. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus came because of grace. In fact, the Bible says that he's full of grace and mercy. We sing songs about God's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When you study this word grace in the New Testament, you will learn that it's used over 150 times. And it always speaks about divine favor given to those who do not deserve it. Grace is so amazing that Apostle Paul called it wonderful grace. In Romans 5:17, it says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live triumphant over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." Wonderful grace. Someone say wonderful grace. Apostle Paul, Peter, said we are stewards of God's grace. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." What is a steward? A steward is a manager over something that is not yours. That means the gift that you have, the dream that you have, is not yours. It's God's. And he didn't give it for you just so you could exclusively benefit from it. He gave it to you so that others can benefit from it. And when you start to bogart, God's gift, eventually he takes it away. Because he didn't give it for you. He gave it for you to use for his kingdom. He said for us to be stewards of the grace of God. Here in Ephesians, Paul reveals to us the marvelous truth that we are actually saved by grace. We're saved by this free gift caused by grace. Now, this is what I want you to get. That even though salvation is free, it wasn't cheap. There ain't no low-budget grace in the kingdom of God. No such thing as no low-budget grace. As we go into 2017, I want to remind you, I want to remind myself that Jesus paid an awful price when he was crucified on the cross for you and I. We should have been on the cross. We should have suffered. We should have died. But Jesus took our place, and that's grace. That's grace. The old hymn said, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." I was driving one day to our Long Beach campus, and I was witnessing this brother serving the Lord in the operations team. And it seemed like every Sunday he was out there while everybody was in the auditorium worshiping. He was out there, like, directing the cars. It was raining. He was out there. It was hot. He was out there. It was cold. He was out there. And I used to pass him by and go park and go preach. But one day, God, put it in my heart to stop. And I stopped, and I asked this brother, I said, "Bro, why do you serve outside in the parking lot so faithfully?" And, you know, without hesitation, he answered, "I owe God." Without hesitation, "I owe God." Man, that touched my heart. That's why I love to hang around broken people. That's why I love to hang around people in whom God is working a tremendous work of healing. Because normally broken people freely give back to God. You ain't got to convince them to come to church. You ain't got to convince them to clap their hands. You ain't got to convince them to bow their knee. People often wonder, they say, "Brian, how is it that you serve the Lord with so much passion? How is it that you serve the Lord?" And they want to know how I've been serving the Lord. I've been serving the Lord since I was about 18 years old. And God has brought me through hell and high water. And I like to believe that I'm going as hard as I was when I was 18 years old when I cried out to him. And people say, Brian, how do you serve with so much passion? You want to know my secret? It ain't nothing special. I'm not nobody special. You don't want to know my secret? Is I have a deep appreciation for all that God has done for me. I have a deep and abiding appreciation for all, like you don't know, like I know, what he's done for me. You don't know. Even as much as I tell you my testimony, you don't know. And I've told you a million times, you still don't know. Still don't know. And this appreciation, it inspires me to give back. I realize, out of all people, I realize I ain't supposed to be here. Like, I know, I'm living on borrowed time. I don't care what happens tomorrow. As long as I'm alive, I'm still blessed. Because I know I ain't supposed to be here. I ain't supposed to be preaching to y'all. I ain't supposed to be wearing this nice jacket and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I ain't supposed to be doing this. I ain't supposed to be doing this. Only by the grace of God. See, those who have appreciation of God's grace, they give freely. They give freely. They bow freely. They sacrifice freely. In fact, Psalms 116:12 says, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? That's what the psalmist, he cried out. He was amazed by God's grace. He looked around his life and said, man, I ain't supposed to be here. And he cried out. He said, what shall I return to God for all his goodness to me? So the question for us this afternoon is, are you bringing anything back to God? Are you bringing anything back to God? Those who have a deep appreciation for God's grace, they give freely. And let me remind you, as we travel through 2017, there are three T's that we give from. Three T's. We give from our talent, our time, and our treasure. Our talent, our time, and our treasure, which none of them are ours. They are all gifts from God. So stop bogarting your talent, your time, and your treasure and give it back to God so he can multiply it in your life. Some of y'all are wondering how you can get more talent. It's by giving it away. That's how the kingdom of God does it. I remember in Luke chapter 7, there was a sinful woman. She was probably a prostitute. And she spent a year's wages on some perfume in which she poured out to anoint Jesus' feet. And this was a sacrificial act of worship for this sinful woman. And it was so deep that the religious folk could not even understand her sacrifice, so they begin to hate on her. Religious folk always try to hate on you. They begin to smutter up. You know what they said? They said, doesn't Jesus know who she is? Doesn't Jesus know what she did? Religious folk always trying to call your past upon you. Don't you know what he did? Why is he ushering? Why is she in the worship team? Don't they know? And Jesus taught us a profound lesson in Luke chapter 7. You know what he taught us? He said, those that are forgiven much, love much. Those that are forgiven much, love much. And that's why I love what I love about Chapel of Change, because we just a bunch of people that have been forgiven. And we are appreciating God. We're not a bunch of stars and divas and all that other stuff. We're just a bunch of grateful people trying to serve an awesome God. And let me remind you, I want to just remind you, as you start off serving God this year, I want to remind you, listen, we don't serve because of what people have done for us. We do not serve God or the church because of what people have done for us. We serve because of what God has done for us. We serve because of what God has done. I serve because of what God. He's the one that healed me. He's the one that delivered me. He's the one that set me free. So whether you clap or you don't clap, or come or you don't come, or hug me or backstab me, I'm still gonna praise the Lord because it was him. It was him that did for me what no human being could do. And so I want to remind you, Chapel Change, we owe God. We owe God. There's a second thought I want to give you. Second thought is, someone say number two. We are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. Look at verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And I love this little word, for. Someone say for. For good works. Have you ever wondered why you're still alive and your homeboy ain't? Have you ever thought, like, God, why am I still here? Have you ever wondered why God saved you? Listen, you weren't saved just to go to heaven. That's not the ultimate reason why you were saved, because if that was so, you would get saved and you would fall over and it'd be over. God saved you so that he can do such a work of transformation in your life as you obey him, as you surrender to him, so that he can lift up your life as a trophy of his grace. He wants to do such a work of grace in your life that he lifts up your life for all to see, and they say, man, I remember when that sister was like that. I remember when she was scandalous. I remember when she used to burn me. I remember when she used to lie to me. But my God, if Jesus can do that in her life, he can do it in mine. He can do it in mine. So I'm excited. I'm excited because God saved us to add value to life. God saved us to add value to our family. He saved us to add value to our community. Like, he saved us to add value to this church. He saved us. And I'm excited that, I'm personally excited that God has made me to be able to be a contributor to life. I'm excited about that because I spent years as a taker. I spent years as a consumer, 16 years in prison. Laura, can you mail me a package? Dad, can you mail me a money order? And getting mad when they didn't. Consumer, consumer. But as I surrendered to the Lord, As I begin to serve, God has been able to put me in a position to be a contributor now, where I could help out now, where I could add value now. You know what I'm particularly excited about? I'm particularly excited about, this is just my testimony, so let me say it, all right? I'm particularly excited that I can write a check and give my tithe to the church. I don't know about you, but I didn't write my first check until I was 32 years old. I don't know about you, but I remember, see, y'all don't know the whole story. Y'all don't know the whole story. I remember when I used to work the kitchen in prison, and they used to call it the slop room. Oh, I'm telling you too much. And I didn't have a pretty little jacket like I do right now. You know what I had to put on? I had to put on a trash bag. Yeah, I had to wear a trash bag, right? And my responsibility was to take the trash that the people didn't eat, the slop, right? And I used to have to divide the paper from the meat, right? And when the prison, see, the prisoners, they ain't cordial and all that. So they just throw their food, right? And half their food would get on me. Thus, I had to wear the trash bag, right? And I was getting paid like 10 cents an hour. Yeah, 10 cents, 15 cents an hour. And I remember when I began to serve the Lord and I'll just bust, I would, you know, they put that money on my books. I don't know what it was, $15 a month or something like that. That was big time, right? And I remember every time I got that money, God said, you better break mine off first. You better break mine off first. So I would go to canteen and I would look at what was the equivalent of my tithe for that $15. And I found a small toothpaste, Colgate. It wasn't even a big one. It was a small one. And that was my tithe for like 10 years. And every time I got my money, you better get that toothpaste. You better get that toothpaste. And I'll get the toothpaste. And the first thing I'll go is I'll go to the chapel and I'll pay my tithe. Right? And I was faithful in that little, faithful in that little, faithful in that little. You know what the Bible teaches? That when you're faithful in little, God will eventually increase you. He'll eventually increase you. I was faithful in that little.
kept giving that Colgate. I still see, I got dreams of that Colgate toothpaste. It's red and it's white and it's a little bitty one, right? Because that's all the money I had. But let me tell you how faithful God is. God moved me from there to all the way over here where I could write a check, right? And I ain't going to tell you how much I give because that's none of your business, right? But I could write a check and I celebrate that. I celebrate that.
Because we are saved to serve. And God is building something special here at Chapel of Change. And listen, here's my prayer. Here's my prayer. My prayer is that you make Chapel of Change your home, not your hotel. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to preach to the worship team. I love preaching to the worship team. They lively. Here's my prayer for you guys, is that you make Chapel of Change your home, not your hotel. You know the difference? Hotel, you don't clean up after yourself. You throw that towel on the ground. Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. You throw 3 or 4 towels on the ground. You ain't worried about that bathroom because you got somebody to clean up after you. But you know how you treat your home? You take pride in your home. You take care of your home. Why is that? Because your mama taught you to take ownership of your home. Because you build your home. Listen, God is building something special at Chapel of Change, and God wants you to take ownership of what he's doing here. He wants you to get in where you fit in. He wants you to get connected. He wants you to get what he's doing. Don't treat it like no hotel and turn off the lights. Here's the last thought. Here's the last thought I want to give you. Why do we serve? To get with God's program. To get with God's program. Touch your neighbor and say, get with the program. Yeah, get with the program. Get with the program. Get with the program. I love verse 10. Look at verse 10. He says, good works which God prepared, get this now, beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works which God prepared beforehand. This is amazing to me that Apostle Paul reveals that long before you even knew about God, he had a plan for you. Long before you even showed up to Chapel of Change, God had a plan for you. God has already been pulling you in his direction. And the more you continue to resist God, the more frustrated your life will be. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The more you continue to resist God, the more frustrated you'll be at life, and you will not fully live until you fully surrender. You will not fully live until you fully surrender. Let me remind you, as we start off in 2017, hear my words today, family. You will never, ever, 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 ever fit into that world. You will never, as much as you try, as much as you get that dress, as much as you get that suit, as much as you get that car, you will never, ever, ever fit into that world. Let me remind you, family, you are already marked by God. It's a wrap. Somebody already prayed for you. It's over. Your grandma messed it up. If she messed it up. You might as well, in 2017, come out with your hands up and surrender to God's plan for your life. Come out with your hands up because you're not going to fit into that world. Listen, things are always going to go wrong for you. I'm sorry. As long as you try to fit into the world, there's always going to be a pebble in your shoe. There's always going to be a lack of gas and a lack of money, and someone's always going to mess it up. You know why? Because you don't fit into that world. You're marked by God. Some of you have been shaken up. And the reason why you've been shaken up is because God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to pull you into his plan. He's trying to pull you into his purpose. He did the same thing with Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, the one who wrote this, Ephesians, he was a Christian murderer. He went against the will of God, but God began to pull him in God's direction. And like everybody else, Paul began to resist God. But one day, God got fed up with Paul. Listen, don't wait until God gets fed up. Don't get God hot. Don't get God hot. God got fed up with Apostle Paul, and in the book of Acts, the Bible says that God slapped him down off of his horse. Slapped him to the ground. Backhand Paul. Put him to the ground and said, you're not driving this car no more. You're getting in the back trunk. Not the back seat. The trunk. And Paul was on the ground. And this is what God said to Paul in Acts chapter 26. While he's on the ground, and some of you are spiritually on the ground right now. Some of you are spiritually shaken up right now. Some of you are spiritually laid out right now. And this is the word of the Lord for you today. Acts chapter 26, he says, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant. As a servant. Get up. It's time to rise and fulfill God's plan for you. Hear me today. It is useless to resist the hand of God. It is futile to resist the hand of God. You will not win. Because here's the deal. You're going to serve him. You will serve him. Whether now or 30 years from now or in prison. You will serve him. So you might as well. You might as well save you another 20 years of heartache and come out with your hands up and say, Lord, I fully surrender to you. I fully surrender to you. Get with the program. Listen, look at all these people here. This is only one service. People are getting with the program. They're getting with the program. You know why? Because they feel it just like you feel it. They feel it just like you feel it. God is calling us. God is calling a broken generation. God is calling an addicted generation. God is calling a gang-infested generation. And he's calling us, and he's healing us, and he's anointing us, and he's calling us to preach his word, to demonstrate his word. You better get in where you fit in. You better get in. Don't miss the bus. Don't miss the bus. God is calling. He's calling. Let's bow our heads.